time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
According to a report in the Washington Post, the president called the acting FBI director Andrew McCabe into the Oval Office last year and asked him who he voted for in the 2016 election. The Post's Devlin Barrett explains.
So Andrew McCabe is in the Oval Office, we're told, and essentially it's a very touchy time for everyone involved. Andrew McCabe's boss, someone he's very loyal to, Jim Comey, has just been fired by the president. And the president, frankly, has long distrusted and disliked Andrew McCabe, dating back to the election. And what happens, we're told by multiple people, is that the president asks McCabe who he voted for. And McCabe basically ducks the question by saying, I didn't vote in the last election. And then the president offers frankly, a critical commentary of McCabe's wife, who had run in 2015 as a Democrat in a Virginia state election. The root of Donald Trump's distrust of McCabe stems from the fact that McCabe's wife had run as a Democrat and received hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from the Political Action Committee of Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe, as many folks know, is a very close Clinton ally.
Your article also talks about how Andrew McCabe felt about this interaction and how other people within the FBI felt about it when they heard about it.
This is pretty much unheard of to ask a civil servant or someone you're screening for a government job. It's one of the rules of government workers. It's simply not done. And there have been all sorts of past instances where government officials have gotten in trouble for asking exactly this type of question. So, you know, there's a great deal of frustration has been expressed to me within the FBI about the way Trump talks, not just about Andy McCabe, but to Andy McCabe.
We've now learned that the special counsel's office last week questioned Attorney General Jeff Sessions, marking the first time that Robert Mueller's office interviewed a member of Trump's cabinet. Mueller's office also interviewed former FBI Director James Comey shortly after he was fired in May of 2017. And Mueller reportedly wants to talk to Trump himself about the Comey and Michael Flynn firings. The Washington Post's Josh Dawsey.
President Trump's lawyers have been in touch with Mueller's team on several different issues, but they want to question the president on the firing of Mike Flynn and the firing of Jim Comey. And that the negotiations include whether this part of the interview could be in writing, whether part of the interview would be videotaped, but they want the interview to happen soon. And what it shows is that there's an intensifying focus on the obstruction part of the probe and the president's actions regarding these firings. Separately, we're reporting that they've begun asking witnesses about the repeated efforts to oust Jeff Sessions as the attorney general. We've reported in others there were multiple efforts to get him to resign, a public smear campaign, a lot of pressure from President Trump's allies. And Mueller's team seems interested in knowing why is that so?
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer appeared on The Rachel Maddow Show Tuesday night to explain his negotiations with Trump and that he has now rescinded an offer on a border wall.
I sat down with President Trump on Friday and offered him quite a bit. He made an offer for a wall. I said, if we do full Dreamers, we'll give you the deal. And he basically agreed. So we were close. Then he pulled out and backed off. So now I've taken the wall off the table because they backed out of that deal. And then he shut the government down. Now, for 2 days, the government was shut down. But all of us in the Democratic caucus, not just the moderates, but the liberals as well, came to the view that if we carried it on much longer, two things would happen. A, no one would budge. The public would lose support of the shutdown. The public does not like shutdowns. And we'd actually lose support for Dreamers, too, because people love the Dreamers but don't want the government shut down for it. So we cut the best deal that we could. And it's more than just a vague promise. McConnell said on the floor, and I realize sometimes he's broken his word before, but he said on the floor, we will definitely get a vote on February 8th of a bipartisan bill on Dreamers that has my okay. So it will be a very good bill. And the thing about McConnell's promise, he didn't just make it to me. He made it to 10 Republican members of his caucus. A leader is very, very reluctant to break a promise to members of his caucus. So now we have a chance to get 60 votes for Dreamers in the Senate. Now, you say that's not the House. That's correct. But nothing was going to force the House because McConnell refused to put any Dreamer legislation on a so-called must-pass bill. That was our hope when Friday night began and Trump shut the government down.
History of another sort is being made in the Senate, CNN reports.
Tammy Duckworth is about to become the first sitting U.S. senator ever to give birth. The Illinois Democrat announcing she's expecting her second child in April. 9 other women have had babies while serving in Congress, but none were in the Senate. Duckworth says her daughter Abigail is ecstatic to welcome her baby sister home, adding, "As tough as juggling the demands of motherhood and being a senator can be, I'm hardly alone or unique as a working parent." Duckworth is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel who served as a helicopter pilot in the Iraq War. She was elected to Congress in 2013. She is a double amputee, folks. This is one of the toughest women or men in all of Congress. I got the
news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.